I would really love to invite you to a time of prayer right now. Wherever you find yourself, wherever you're at right now, just stop. Close your eyes, bow your heads, and take a deep breath. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that you are doing here at Foley United Methodist Church. Lord, it has been an amazing journey to see you breathe life back into this place. Lord, we long to join with you in the work that you're doing. Lord, we are waiting patiently for your Spirit to be released upon each and every one of us, calling us and sending us into mission wherever you lead. Lord, we long to be like Peter, who is so inspired and so set on fire when that Spirit descends, that he goes out and shares the good news, shares the love, shares the hope that is only found in you. Lord, it is by your Spirit that we long to serve. Inspire us. Use us. Send us. Lord, wherever you lead, we want to follow. Lord, just pour out your Spirit in a new and powerful way on all those here at Foley United Methodist Church, so that we might serve all those in our community around us, so that we might be a beacon of hope, so that we might be able to share the power of your Spirit in this place called Foley, Alabama. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. I love that image out of the Acts 2 passage that we read at the beginning of the service that talks about the disciples in that room waiting, you know, that they were wondering what was coming next, and they were wondering where God was going to lead them. And in some ways, that's the season that this COVID thing has put us into, is we know God's moving. We know his Spirit is leading us. This vision retreat we had back in February began to give us the picture. And so now the story is, how is God leading us out? That we're beginning to see where he's going. And so what we want to share next is, we want to share some stories of ways that people have been intersecting with some of those things that we felt like God made clear at that vision retreat back in February, when those 35 people gathered and really walked away with this sense of, man, there's some clear things that it seemed like God wants us to focus on. We want to come back to those, and we want to share how we see those playing out, maybe some things that have begun to happen already. We want you to hear firsthand from some people. And then we're going to ask you just to be discerning, too, about what this looks like for where God's leading us. So enjoy these stories, some testimonies, some interviews about how God is moving and working as we wait for him to fully unleash us into this community in a new way.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, as we're in this season, believing that God is at work and that he is, we're waiting like those folks on the first Pentecost for the Holy Spirit to unleash and set us forth. There's some things we think God is doing, and I'm here today with Donna Shane, and she's going to help us understand a little more of where we think God may be leading us. And so, Donna, tell us just real quickly a little bit about you and your family and how long you've been here at Foley United Methodist.
Well, my two boys and my husband, we've been here about 36 years and loving it. And now I'm retired and enjoying being able to serve God more. And
yeah, you do a lot of things around here, don't you?
I try to serve.
That's good. So you went on the vision retreat that we've mentioned back in the winter. You were there for those 24 hours. I would love for you to tell us just a little bit about what that experience was like for you, and how you saw God, and kind of why, and how you saw God leading the church through those 24 hours.
Well, first of all, I felt very blessed because I met new people. And again, the more you can feel like you're part of a community of God, that was a blessing. I just saw how 36 people came together, and it all worked in that it wasn't about ourselves with our own personalities. It was about what God was leading our church to do. And I just felt the Holy Spirit in so many ways, between quiet prayer and group prayer, that wanting to serve him for we can serve others. And it was just amazing.
So it sounds like it was a confirming time that God really was using it, and there was a sense of unity kind of as the people came together.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. So one of the things that came out of the retreat was this kind of underlying sense of why, and it was the idea of discipleship. I remember at the retreat people were talking about that we needed to be people who were growing as disciples, that we needed to be growing and following in the way of Jesus, and that we needed to be making disciples, that we didn't just need to go serve our community like a social agency, but that we had a part of what God's doing. And so I'd love to hear you talk about kind of why you feel like discipleship and this idea of following in the way of Jesus is so important as a core to everything else that we're doing.
Well, I do believe that discipleship is the core of what a church is about. Mm. From the beginning of time, God had always called his people to walk in his ways. And then Jesus Christ came, and Jesus was the example of, again, leading people to love each other and to worship God and what he wanted. And I feel like that's important, that we are to serve others and not ourselves, and that we are to be led by the Holy Spirit to serve others and to expand our community of like people, and that we want all people to know God's love.
Mm. So I think I hear you kind of mirroring or modeling kind of the way that Jesus worked, that we would walk in the ways of the Father as our community, but then we would also be out caring for others, and that we would be modeling the way Jesus works. What do you think that looks like for the church? How do we do that?
Well, I think that the more we have discipleship, where we have small communities and we learn truly what it is to walk in the path of Jesus and to truly love others, that we can then understand and really receive his love in order to give his love, and that I see us being truly led by the Holy Spirit in meeting the needs of what our community needs, whether it's Foley, Robertsdale, and what the church looks like. The body of Christ is not just a building, but it's all the people, wherever you're at. And so when we or our church people are really truly transformed through that discipleship, they then, like myself, that people will see Jesus Christ, and they'll receive his love and know that it's about Jesus and his love and not our love or our church.
So that's kind of the end goal, is that we don't just learn information about Jesus, but that we're actually learning to reflect the very presence of Jesus, and people see that.
Yes.
So when you think about that, and you think about what would happen if we took this and made this of becoming like Jesus, where people would see us, if we made that the focus of the church for the next 2 or 3 years and said, all right, Lord, we're going to go where you're leading us in this focus on discipleship, what impact would that make? What impact would that make on the people who are already here at Foley United Methodist, or out there watching us? And what difference would that make in this community?
Well, first of all, I think that they would be more open to the Holy Spirit leading them and moving them through this world. And I think they would just be really open to what love is really, what God's love really is, because it's denying ourselves. And I think about our community, we actually can become a whole community, not pockets in the community, because I see pockets and I want it to be like, and I think Jesus wants it to be whole. Mm. And, you know, we won't have people hungry, lonely, scared, lost, and not knowing God's love. They need to know God's love, and we need to be that mission, fishers of men. And I just can't believe what it would look like and how our members, how they would feel and just go out and just, you know, be so truly the light of God.
Sounds like there would be this chance for this amazing awakening, just like on Pentecost.
Yes, truly.
Yeah, that's right. That's
be
great.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much, Donna. Thanks for sharing with us this morning. Well, and now I have the privilege of introducing you to Robert Pardue as we continue to talk about these ways that God is preparing and leading us as we wait for his Holy Spirit to unleash us. So, Robert, why don't you tell us just a little bit about who you are?
I'm Robert Pardue, and I came to Foley in 2011, moved over here from the Mississippi Gulf Coast in a period of life where I had changed. I came to be near my sister and brother-in-law, and almost immediately I came to Foley United Methodist and fell in love with the church, and it wasn't long before I began to associate with it, and one thing led to another. And I've been here ever since, and I've enjoyed every year that I've been here. That's great. Amazing trip for me.
One of my favorite stories is Robert was the chair of the staff parish committee when I got appointed to Foley. So I've known you were one of the first people I knew when I came to Foley.
What a privilege.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your experience at that vision retreat. So 24 hours, what was that like for you?
I want to back up just a little bit and just make mention here is that even before it was really announced, I heard from one person in a church that we were going to have it. Something developed in my heart that with excitement that I wanted to be part of it, and I didn't regret it at all. I really enjoyed the whole time there. I enjoyed the process. I enjoyed the people that I was with for that 24-hour period, and I got a lot out of it. I was amazed how things worked through the different stages of those 24-hour periods through prayer and through being together with different people, and I just really got a lot out of it. It was a great time for my life to be there and be part of that.
So if you had to say one snapshot of how you saw God working in that 24 hours, what would it be?
Consensus, I guess, because there was the different thoughts, different ideas and all. And at the end, I could see it merging together as we went through the different groups of people that we were associated with. So I saw a lot of change and a lot of change in me and other people too, that we got a deeper sense of what our purpose was there. And I think we all came away with a valued things in our heart to make this church better.
So one of the areas that kind of came out was this kind of broad picture of where. Mm-hmm. And there were two locations that group, when you talk about consensus, came back with. And one was the space where we're sitting right now in the Spirit Center. So talk some about this idea of, you know, God is calling us to use the Spirit Center as a ministry tool. What do you think that might look like? What would it look like to give this building away to the community?
Well, you know, when I first came, the first building I came into on the campus here was this building. And I was at awe of how beautiful it was. It was, you know, younger than what it is now, apparently. But all the different facility and different things that we had here. So I really enjoyed being part of the church as a result of this building and just being part of that. You know, I'm thinking back in my thoughts about all the different things that have taken place in the period of time that I've been here and the people that we have served in the room that we've allowed other people to have. I think of the Coastal Corral early on. And I remember, I'm thankful for the Family Promise as part of this building. And I also think about the fish fry that everyone loves to go to. And I hope one day that we're gonna have those again. Absolutely. And do that. And as of late, we're a voting precinct in Foley. Mm. And so we're allowing the people of our community to come in and see what such a beautiful facility this is. But to answer your question, I'm looking forward with everyone else about what God is going to do in the facility in the future, because I see so much potential here. We could be more of a ministry to the minority groups of people here in Foley. Mm. We could help maybe the underprivileged or different groups and minister them better and allow the facility to be used by different groups to be able to be a blessing to other people. It's a great tool for us to have.
It sounds like in some ways that this part of the vision is just a continuation of what we've been doing, saying we just want to keep doing it and do more of that.
I think we blessed the people of Foley by the facility in the past, and I just see it as a great opportunity for us to create new ministry in the city of Foley in the future.
So the other aspect of kind of this where was almost the complete opposite of this, of going anywhere but here. So why do you think God may be leading us to say we need to be doing more things that aren't on our facility or on our campus, but they're out in the community? What might that look like?
Well, you know, I think one of the first thing that Christ committed to the church was to go and to ministering and go beyond the walls of a preferred building. So as great as a building it is, and we've seen so many people's life change because of the building, there's still a desire in our hearts to go beyond the walls of the building to the community that has need. Mm-hmm. There's so many people in Foley that does not even go to church.
Yeah.
And I see in this season that we're in now how many people are going to fall out of church and never return. Yeah. So that makes us even more responsible for going out and making sure that people know who loves them, and of course that's Christ.
So we can't just wait for them to come here, even if we're using this as a voting precinct. We've got to be out where they are the way Jesus was.
That is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Yes, we need to go. There's you know, there when we were together, there's a lot of things that came up, like having Sunday school or vacation Bible school in the park.
Yeah.
Go out into common areas in the community and be able to minister to other people in a way that they it's true work, true help them. Mm. And it's just going to be a wonderful opportunity for us to go beyond the walls of this church out of the community that others may know Christ.
Amen. I'm ready. sign me up. Come Holy Spirit. Robert, thank you for sharing your thoughts.
You're welcome, Nolan. Thank you so much.
And now, through the magic of technology, here I am sitting in one of our Kids Quest rooms with Charlotte Plum, as she's going to help us continue to unpack this story of what we think God may be doing in our church. So Charlotte, thanks for being with us. Tell us just a little bit about you. Give us a snapshot of who you are and how long you've been a part of the church and that kind of thing.
Okay. Me and my husband, David, I've been here about 26 years, been members 26 years. We have two daughters, Caroline and Caitlin, a son-in-law, Blaine, and a grandson, Holden.
Very good. And one of the little-known facts is that your mother-in-law was my preschool teacher.
That's right.
And she's in a Sunday school class with my parents. Very good. So you went on the vision retreat, too. You were there back in February when we began to sense that God was opening some doors of where he might be leading us. Tell us a little bit about what that experience was like. What were those 24 hours like for you, and how did you see God there?
Okay. Well, first of all, when I heard we were going to do group work, I was like, oh, I don't like working in groups. Everybody has their own agendas. I had done it before in work, and I didn't really like it. But I found out when I got there that it was different because we worshiped, we had solitude, we prayed for God's will, and we all had the same agenda. What's next, Lord? That's what we were there for. So it was really a wonderful experience, and I'm ready to go back.
Right.
I love retreats now.
Yeah. You had to say one way, I mean, it sounds like that whole thing was bathed in God's presence, but if you had to say one way that you saw God working, what would it be?
Well, like I said, we all, nobody had their own agenda.
Yeah.
It was all, what does the Lord want us to do? And we all came up with the same conclusions, really. Even though we would start in a different area, it all ended up to be the same.
Yeah.
We all had the same ideas.
That's awesome. So one of the things that came out as the group kind of did this work and as it all kind of this consensus developed was there was three different groups of people in our community that we felt like maybe the Lord was pointing us towards. One was kids in the community. I love the way someone said it at the retreat, that if there's a kid in the greater Foley community, then we serve them. There's the struggling, those who are hurting and dealing with hardships in their life. And then there's the Hispanic community that's big and very hidden in our community. And I'm curious, just as you've reflected on those three groups of people, why do you think those three seem to resonate with our people at the retreat so much? I mean, when we started, there were 20 different groups of people. I mean, they're all kind of folks we were talking about. So what do you think it is about those three that resonate with our people?
Well, I think the Holy Spirit was there with us, and he led us to that group, struggling. And speaking for myself, I didn't realize there were so many people right, in 5-mile radius that were struggling, So I think he led us to those groups, and we learned you don't have to go, way out to another country. We have people right here that we can serve.
Yeah, so maybe it was kind of the awareness, coming to an awareness of these folks with real needs, kids, Hispanic population, the struggling, are all right here in our backyard.
Right here in our backyard. They're our neighbors.
Yeah. And so when you think about what could be if the church were to say, we're going to really make this our focus, we're going to say, yes, Lord, we think these are the people, the kids, the struggling, and the Hispanic population, what do you think the possibilities of serving those groups might be? What could that look like?
Well, I think we're so blessed here. We have a wonderful membership, a caring membership. We have our spirit center that we can do lots of activities. And I think, as Donna said earlier, we have to let go of ourselves and serve others. And when we do that, we're blessed. We're getting blessed, and we're also blessing others.
Yeah. So envision with me for just a second. Think of kids in our community, or think of folks who are struggling with very real needs, or think of Hispanic. The Hispanic population, what difference might be made in their lives?
Well, there's a high percentage that can't speak English. There's things we could do at our Spirit Center, English classes. We could have,
The possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
Well, and we don't want to steal, Tom, who we're going to talk to in just a minute, we don't want to steal kind of some of the how, But it sounds like, I mean, that we have people who are motivated. There's a sense that the Lord is leading us to this. We have resources and facilities, and so the possibilities of what could happen in these people's lives are endless. What do you think spiritually might happen to Foley United Methodist Church if we took seriously the call to serve kids, the struggling, and the Hispanic population?
I think when we're doing what God is calling us to do, we will get closer to Him, and we will be blessed, like I said. And when you stop thinking about your little problems that you have and think about others and what you can do to help, it really makes you happier.
So there would be a sense of joy.
Sense of joy.
That come to our church if we were to do this. So that's great.
Yes.
Charlotte, thanks for helping us think about these things. I appreciate you leading us in this direction. There's one more friend that I want you to hear from today. So I'm glad to be here now with the magic of technology in the kitchen with Tom Seemers. Tom, tell us a little bit about you, how long you've been in the church, and a little about your story.
Debbie and I retired from Tuscaloosa and moved to Foley in 2010 and joined the church. Prior to joining the church, as we would come here on weekends, we would do the beach service. And that's what led us to this church, was we came through the Galilean service.
Yeah, so this church, serving on mission in the community through the beach service,
that's correct.
One of the reasons you're here. So you went to the retreat, like I've asked everyone before you over these last few minutes. Tell us your experience, those 24 hours that you were there, how you saw God at work, and what that experience was like for you.
When the retreat was announced, I said to my wife, this is the first time they ever asked for my input. Of all the prior administrations, no one had ever asked for my input. And as the days went by, I felt like God told me to participate. So that's what I did. And when I arrived, one of the things that I thoroughly enjoyed was that nobody got to be silent. Everyone was instructed to participate in a written manner. Once that was accomplished, we then began to share those ideas with the remainder of the group, and through an organized process, we consolidated those down into a list of priorities, of which at the end they were selected in a priority model based upon the votes of the group. So it was a very organized way of gathering information from everyone, not just the ones that like to talk.
Sure, that's great. It sounds like it was a meaningful thing for you to have a place where you could share.
Very much. I thoroughly enjoyed the weekend. I thoroughly enjoyed the interaction. I could see the Holy Spirit working in everyone.
That's great. So the last kind of area, when we finished there and there was this kind of response, that there was some clarity that felt like part of the vision that God may be bringing forth for the church, is some of the ways that we ought to do it, the how. Amazingly, one of the things that was on the list was food. And that's why we're here. You can see the evidence of food. There was this sense of meeting real needs in our community, that we could help meet some of those real needs that Charlotte was talking about just a few minutes ago. And then there was this idea that we could partner with other organizations. So talk about those three things, and talk about what kind of possibilities you see, and what resonates with you about those.
Obviously, the most outstanding idea was the food. I think the food's an easy avenue to be able to provide assistance to a lot of people. For an example, at the church, for the past 2 weeks, we have given away free milk. It's been over 500 gallons per week.
Each week, yeah.
And it's been a success. And so not only the lower income or the minority groups, but literally a lot of everybody in the neighborhood has had the opportunity to have free milk that has been given away by the local dairy processor, and we simply assist in that distribution.
Isn't that amazing how that's all of those things coming together? That's what Robert talked about, using the Spirit Center. That's meeting real life needs. That's caring for our community. It's using our Spirit Center. It's food. It's all
absolutely
those things.
And we've also during the month of May have been involved in providing snacks for the kids at school. The school tells us that there's so many children that can't afford their own snacks to bring, so we made sure that the school had an overabundance of snacks so that everyone would have a snack when it came snack time. One of the other ideas that came up was participating with other organizations to serve the community. We decided it's probably not necessary that we try to reinvent the wheel and create our own, so it's a matter of communication with the other churches, with places like the Ecumenical Ministries, see what it is that their needs are, what they're trying to do in the community, and how we can assist and participate in that role. The third thing is to try to identify the real needs in the community that we can serve. For example, like tutoring or helping with homework or you know, maybe giving financial leadership to different individuals.
So what of all those, when you think about it, what excites you? What do you think the possibilities might be for how we could impact our community as we think about food and real needs and partnering?
I think food is the key thing. I think that's an easy avenue that the members of the congregation can get involved with, because we can, for an example, with the food pantry, provide preparing and serving foods even here in the community, and in a spirit center. I think that's the driving priority, is that. Again, I also think that we can participate with the Ecumenical Ministries to see how else we can provide assistance other than just through food.
Yeah, Tom, I'm grateful for your input and for you helping steer that. I can't wait to see. I mean, it sounds big, but it sounds like we're already taking some of those first steps, and we're going to see what God's going to do with this.
Well, one of the things we hope is that we can educate the membership so that they don't feel like this is overly complicated.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep it simple so that everyone feels like they have the talent and skill to participate in what we're trying to do.
That's so good. That's really good. So, friends, that's with Tom's words here, when you add that to what Donna and Robert and Charlotte have shared over these last few minutes, that's a picture of where we think God is stirring and working, and we're excited because it really does feel like Pentecost. I love how John pointed out that sense of the disciples were waiting in that upper room, and Jesus says at the end of Luke's gospel that we don't need to start until we have that empowerment from the Holy Spirit. And so this COVID-19 pandemic has, you know, been an inconvenience in many ways, but part of what we're seeing is that this is a season to wait, and that God is clarifying and leading us and directing us to where he wants us to go. And so I hope you share the excitement that you've seen in these friends who shared with us. I hope you're eager to know where God's going to lead us. And as we begin to be able to come back together in the ways that are safe and compliant, we're excited about moving into this. One of the things I love that Tom said that we want you to have a part in this is that this isn't about, you know, John and me just preaching and saying this is what's going to happen. I mean, this is a sense of we want to discern where God is leading us, that the vision of the church is bigger than any one pastor or any one group of leaders or any, you know, one person. And we want to continue to refine and discern exactly where God wants us to go based on the way he may be speaking to you. And so one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to share both on our Facebook page and through our e-news, a link that's going to give you a chance to give us some feedback, kind of the way that Tom shared that we wanted as many people who would come and participate in that retreat to do so. We want your feedback from today. We want you to share what it is that you hear when you hear these friends talk about how God's working at Foley United Methodist. We want you to share what resonates with you, where you think God may be leading out of these things. And there may be places that you still have questions or wonder how we might move forward in some of these. And so we're going to send this link out. We want you to respond. We want to be able to continue to hear from folks, because we just believe that process that we saw at that retreat will continue to work, that the Spirit's going to continue to lead us, and that just like on that day of Pentecost, that God is unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit at Foley United Methodist Church, and that through us, he wants to do great things in this community and in the people who already call this their church home, and in folks who are out there who don't even know what God's got in store for them. So I think about what we said last Sunday as we ended the 23rd Psalm, thinking about that we have this great message that God is chasing us with goodness and love. And so we're excited to see where he's going to lead us. And just like on Pentecost, we believe we've only just begun and that God has great things in store. So to finish our time of worship together, we want to sing.